And ask God. Father, we give you thanks for this day. And Lord, as we commemorate the many gifts that you have given us, the fathers, and we look back in all of our lives and the impact that many of our fathers had on us, and I would say this, probably the most of them very good. None of us are perfect, but the things they've instilled in us, Lord, they last forever. And Lord, we thank you for our fathers. We thank you for our spiritual father, Pastor John. And we pray blessing upon him today. And we pray, Father, that you would just anoint him as he prepares to give to his children today from your holy word. Lord, let the Spirit of God move mightily among in our midst. We give you praise and we give you glory and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Father's Day, as we all know, it's a special day that is set aside to recognize and honor the fathers of our nation. And in spite of the way things are going in this day and age, fatherhood always has, and it always will be still, a great and noble profession, you know, to be a father. I don't know if you know this, but unfortunately in our country today, over 30% of our children are growing up in a home with no father. 30%. And in some areas, it's even more. The traditional American family, as Pastor Don just said, is under attack. And in many areas, in many ways, it's hurting. Many of the major problems facing our country, such as broken homes and juvenile delinquency and gangs and violent crime and drug use and illegitimate births, all these kind of things, a lot of that stem from fathers who weren't there. You know, fathers who were absentee or just not there at all. And their hearts had been turned from their children. Even in families where the fathers are there or have been there, many of them have had to work, you know, long hours, and oftentimes the mom has to work a long time too, and so the home it's just not filled with that mother and father influence like you would want. Even rarer still is a home that has a godly father. A godly father who will raise up children in the knowledge of God. I know in my own life, you know, I was raised in a home with my father, and my father was a really good man. And he worked very hard, extremely hard, long hours. In fact, he worked two jobs for many years during my formative years. And he went to church, but I don't believe he ever had a personal relationship with God until long after I grew up and had moved out of the house. It was later in his life when he actually really got to know God. So I personally grew up without a clue about knowing what it meant to serve God, to love God, to honor him, to have a personal relationship with him. And I certainly never knew him as my father, God. So I'm thankful for me, as well as I hope, I believe, most of the men here, that God has rescued me and adopted me into his family and brought me in as one of his sons. Over the past few months, we've been talking about knowing God. And fortunately for us, God not only reveals himself to us as our Heavenly Father, but he also teaches us through his word and many important aspects or characteristics of fatherhood. There's a lot of things we can learn in the Word of God about being a father. By knowing God, just by knowing him and understanding him, we can learn what it means to be a good father. Remember that God's desire is always for unity. And what better place to develop unity than between a father and his children, or a father in his home. Malachi chapter 4, verse 4 through 6 says, "Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. If you remember, fathers, that we were taught in the Old Testament, it's throughout the Old Testament and some very specific spots, where fathers had a duty to train up, to raise up, to teach their children. They were supposed to walk with them, write it on the doorposts, have it everywhere, and throughout the day, throughout their life, teach them about God. And even in the Ten Commandments, we saw that the children were supposed to honor and obey their parents. And so we saw in that verse there that we just read that God wants to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, or else he will come and strike the land with a curse. That meant that a child would learn about God's ways from birth. And then what would happen is he would honor his parents by serving God, and he would honor God by serving his parents. They flow together. And then eventually, as he grew older, he would have this relationship, this intimate relationship with God. That was how it was supposed to be. That's how God designed it to be. But unfortunately, we know that it doesn't always work out that way. So God is warning us in this scripture that we just read that when that process isn't followed, there can be a curse upon the land. When God the Father is rejected, then His blessings are forfeited. That's in an individual's life, that's in a family, and that can be in a nation. And I think we're seeing a lot of that happening today in our own nation. And so our job as Christians, and especially as Christian men, is to reverse the undoing of this process, to get it back in motion, to start to turn things back again, to bring honor to fatherhood, to spread the truth of fatherhood, to understand ourselves, to break the curse, and to reunite the hearts of fathers and children. And that doesn't let any man off the hook. We're all called to be spiritual fathers, helping to guide and to raise up the young men around us by being godly examples, by helping to father every child we can. We can all use help, and I was thinking especially single moms, the help that they can use when godly men will have some input into their child's lives. I know they appreciate it. I know I've been there. I've been able to help in some of those instances. And I know that women have gone through that. It's tough raising up a child alone. And then sometimes they're single fathers raising up their children, and they can use help. Even grown men. Men who never had the privilege of that, a guiding fatherly hand, a Christian man in their life, they need our help. So where do we turn for guidance? Where do we go? What do we use for our standard? I think you probably know. There's only one standard that we can really count on, and that's God Himself, and we learn His ways through His Word. Psalm 68:5 describes Him as a father to the fatherless. God wants to be our Father, and especially a father to the fatherless. There's a tremendous need for men, for fathers, husbands, single men, to look to our Heavenly Father and imitate Him. Never having received the love of a godly father, never having that godly father figure in our life, has actually hindered many people from being able to then receive God as a father. It makes it very hard to be able to relate to God as a father when we didn't know any godly men that had influence in our life. We might find it easy to see God as a king, as God, as creator, as a mighty warrior, as Lord, but what he really wants is he wants us to come to him as a father, as one of his children, and being able to cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy. He wants us to know him and to be able to give him and to receive from him love. Knowing God as our Father will help us to be a better father. So what I'm going to do right now is examine some of the fatherly traits of God and see how we can all better receive him as our Father, understand him as our Father, and then how we can learn from him, from his ways, from his character, and be better fathers ourselves. The first and most important thing that we need to know about our Father God, our Heavenly Father, is that he loves his children. Without a doubt, he loves his children. It's a love that knows no end. We sing that song, Your love, it knows no end. And it doesn't. His love is unconditional. He loves with an everlasting love. He loved us while we were yet sinners. He loved us before we were born. He loved us before the creation of the world, and he loves us now. Romans 5:8 says, But God demonstrates his love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God's love isn't based on whether we do right or wrong. Being in his good graces does. Being right with God, you know, if we reject him and we go do wrong, yeah, that can cause there to be a problem there, but that doesn't stop God from loving us. God loves us whether we're perfect or not. Thank goodness. It's in his nature to love us. That's why 1 John 4:16 says that God is love. Romans 8:38 and 39 says, For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, he's trying to lay it out there so there's absolutely no misunderstanding. God loves his children. God loves us. Our Father in heaven loves us. One of my all-time favorite stories in the Bible is the one that we call the prodigal son, but could just as well have been called the loving father. One of the two sons took his share of the inheritance, you know, and he left the father behind. He took the blessings of the father, but he didn't want that authority in his life. He didn't want that accountability in his life. He didn't want to have to deal with the relationship of the father. He just wanted his blessings. He thought he knew better. He thought he could pull it off, so he took what he knew was coming to him, went out, decided to make it on his own. So he gets out there and lives his life of sin, blows all his money, ends up broke, working in a pigsty, feeding someone else's pigs, so he could at least have something to eat. That's how low he got because he rejected his father. Then it goes into Luke 15:17. When he came to his senses, my favorite line in the whole Bible probably, because that's where we all had to get to at one point, right? When he came to his senses, he said, How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father. And I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, against God, and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Just make me like one of your hired men. Does the father accept that No way. So he goes home, and while he's still a long way off, the father spotted him, and he was filled with compassion. That amazing love that we talk about, that we sing about. And he ran to his son. He ran out to meet him. And he threw his arms around him, and he began to kiss him, and he was all excited that his son had come to his senses, first off, and that he came home. The father never stopped loving the son. Not for 1 minute, not for 1 day. But he had to wait for the son to come to that place of brokenness and humility where he did come to his senses so he could come home repentant. Just like we had to come home. We had to meet God and have that broken, humbled heart and meet him. And so that way he could be restored to full fellowship. There would be no true fellowship if he came home because he was broke but never had come to his senses. But because he learned his lesson, because he broke through that selfishness and got to that place of understanding, brokenness, humility, came to his senses, fellowship was restored. Unity was restored. Maybe you've disappointed your Heavenly Father. And you feel like, you know, I just don't have that kind of relationship like I'd want or maybe that I used to have because I'm a sinner and I've blown it. And I don't think God is going to forgive me because I've sinned too many times. I've gone back to that sin too many times. Well, I'm telling you, when you come to your senses, when you're broken and humbled, God is waiting to run to you. He will never turn you away. How many times should we forgive? Jesus was asked and he said 70 times 7. In other words, indefinitely, as long as that person repents and comes to you in true repentance. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We as fathers have the same responsibility for our children. To love them. Always to be ready to forgive them. But at the same time, like the father in the story, we have to let them come to their senses. We can't jump in too early because they'll never grow. They'll never become responsible. That's called tough love. A lot of people in this world don't like to deal with that. They don't want to be too hard. But we have the story about how God treated the son to let us know that that's actually the right way so that we can learn about repentance, so that we can learn about forgiveness, so that we can learn about coming to our senses and getting things right, growing, becoming like God. You know, they may have to suffer the consequences of their sin just like that young man did. He put in his time living with the pigs, broke, filthy, starving. So he suffered some consequences for that. But all during that time, his father never stopped loving him. He just waited till the son was back in the right place in here. Another thing the Father does is He makes Himself available to us. God sent His Son to die for us that our relationship could be restored. He went that far. The temple veil, if you remember, when Jesus died on the cross, the temple veil was torn in two from top to bottom. The Father tore the veil in two from top to bottom, so that now we could enter into the Holy of Holies and that we could join our Father. We could come to Him and come into His presence. Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, knowing that God wants us to draw near to Him. Remember, He knocks on the door. Him and the Son. Come on in, and I and the Father will sup with you, will eat with you. Over and over, our Father invites us to draw near, to come close, to spend time with Him. He wants us to get still before Him and to hear His heart, to share our heart with Him and to hear His heart for us. God makes Himself available to us. Do we do that with our children? With those that God has called us to father? Whether it's our children or even maybe other young men. Do our kids feel comfortable coming to us? Do we make time to have good conversations with each one individually without interruption? Not just as a group all the time, not just being there in our easy chair, but actually making sure we get to spend time with each one of our children. Do we make them feel and let them know that they are special, that they are important, that they are loved? Do we take them out for individual time, maybe on walks or for trips, take them out to dinner? Take them out shopping. Take them out for a walk down in the park or by the water. Making ourselves available so that we have the time and the conversation can turn to the point where finally the hearts open up. And we can share our heart with them and we can hear what's on their heart. That's important. And it's so easy to just go through life and think we're doing it all just because we're there while we're watching TV or reading the newspaper or on the computer. We need to step it up beyond that and give our children our attention, our availability. A father's love is sacrificial. We know John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son." Our Heavenly Father couldn't make any greater sacrifice than that, than to give His Son, Jesus. And we as fathers need to have this love for our children, and again, those that God has called us to father, a love, He wants us to have a love that's sacrificial. In other words, we may end up doing things that we really don't want to do. Maybe we can't afford to do them. Maybe we don't have the time. Maybe we just plain don't enjoy doing it. But we do it out of love. Maybe there's an inconvenience or a difficulty in doing that thing. But that's an opportunity to show God's love to our kids and even to our wife. We can't forget that we're showing our children, we're training them, we're teaching them how we love others by the way we love, by the way we treat our wife. Putting in a plug for you ladies. If there's anyone that we should be a blessing to, anyone at all, especially for our children's sake, so they can see it, and even for their all-around benefit, for the benefit of the home, we should be a blessing to our wives. A good father is a blessing to the child's mother. Our Father's love is redemptive. God rescued us from the darkness, and He brought us into His light. We talked about that last week. Our Father is always trying to bring unity into the body of Christ and between His children. We as fathers should always be trying to build unity in our family and bring unity between our family members, our children, and God. As we teach that unity, this love and understanding to one another, we teach our children to love their siblings, to love their family, to love their father, their mom. We teach them to understand and to care for them. We build that unity. It's redemptive. We help them also to love God. They should see it in us. They should see it played out in our relationships, in the home and in the church. and in fact, everywhere. Our Heavenly Father is our provider. 1 Timothy 6:17 tells us, put your hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. God is our provider. Matthew 25:34, I'm going to paraphrase it because it's a long section. Paraphrase it, it just tells us not to worry about what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, or what we're going to wear. Our Heavenly Father knows all of our needs, and as we seek His kingdom, He will provide for all of those needs. Because He's our provider. He knows what we need before we even ask Him. One of the names of God is Jehovah Jireh. We used to sing a song years and years ago. Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Jireh, both they were in this song, and Jehovah Jireh means God will provide. We as fathers need to be providers for our children. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for his immediate family, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So we as fathers have a responsibility to provide. God wants us to provide for the physical need. That's simple. Food, shelter, clothing. I mean, that's obvious. But He also wants us to provide emotional bonding. He wants us to provide the security in the home, of a loving home. He wants us to provide the love and the hugs and the I love yous. And of course, He also wants us to provide a healthy spiritual environment for our kids, where they see prayer, worship, church, good books, Bibles, Christian fellowship, and of course, most of all, a godly example, a dad who also partakes in all those things. We're building a legacy. We're building into the next generation. We need to do it purposely. Purposely. Like really, you know, do it with a purpose in mind. Our Heavenly Father protects us. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. He even protects us from sinning if we accept His help. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, He will provide a way so that you can stand up under it. So He protects us by providing a way out of sin, by making a way so we can get away from it and not be swamped or overcome by it. So we as fathers need to protect our children. It starts out, we protect them from the monsters under the bed and in the closet or wherever they might be hiding. And then later on, it's the sister, the brother. Then it's the bully down the street. But then later on, it gets a little more serious. Then it's from the harmful influences, our society, our culture, the destructive tendencies, bad friends, bad habits, bad hobbies, bad decisions, things that can lead us astray. Dad's got to step in and try to help his child understand the importance of good decisions, good friends, good input. At first, we just do it. When they're young, we just make it happen. And if we do it with love, and we do it with kindness, and we do it with thoughtfulness, our children will grow up respecting how we've trained them, and they'll hopefully follow through on that. We'll still have to deal with things. And we'll see our kids when they're grown make decisions, and we think like, oh man, what are they doing? And maybe then we don't have as much influence. Once they've grown up, especially moved out, we can still throw in a little suggestion here or there, and maybe they'll learn. Maybe they won't. Maybe they'll have to learn on their own. But it's our job to speak the truth in love. Hebrews 12:6 tells us that our Heavenly Father disciplines those He loves. And He punishes everyone He accepts as a son. Oh boy. God disciplines. He believes in discipline. He knows that it's sometimes necessary. And He expects us to discipline and to train. And that's what discipline is. It's training our children in a certain discipline. The discipline of being a good Christian. Of being a good child, a good son, a good daughter. Discipline doesn't always mean the spanking or the belt or the rod or whatever. Discipline means training. Sometimes it might be a talking to. It might be time out. You never know how far. Whatever we have to do, we have to go. What we have to do to make them accept that discipline and grow from it and save them. Never in anger, always in love. Never in anger. If we're that angry, then just sit down for a minute. Come back in love. Be consistent, be fair. After the discipline, make sure they know you love them. Our Heavenly Father is training us and molding us. Isaiah 6, 4 through 8, or no, excuse me, 64, verse 8. Yet, O Lord, You are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter, and we are the work of Your hands. God is molding us. He's given us His Word to help us. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. What better tool? What better tool could we possibly have to guide us into being the Father that God wants us to be? And to use a tool, what better tool could we have that we could use to help train our children, to help raise them up? And not only that, but then God has given us His Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth and to guide us in righteousness. Who better? We had the what in the Word. Now, who better could there possibly be to guide us to being the kind of Father that God wants us to be than the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. So God's given us what we need. He's molding us. He's nurturing us. He's looking out for us. He's training us. We men have been given a great privilege and an awesome responsibility to see that the next generation will walk in the way of the Lord. Somebody has to pass this down. And the man's responsible. Sure, mom's in there doing her job. She's helping. She's working. But it shouldn't just be left to mom. The man's got to get in there and do his job. Everything that we do as a father should help to lead our children and all those that God has given us a responsibility for, especially our families, it should help all of them be, we should be able to help all of them be led into a joyful, committed, intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. By being that kind of father, we point them in the right way. We give them that direction. This world, this nation, really needs godly men. Godly fathers who will walk in the footsteps of our Heavenly Father. There's no better place to be. There's no better place to be. If you want to receive the maximum blessing in your life, know God as your Father. Get to know Him as a loving Father. Receive from Him. He wants to give so in so many ways to us. Our children need to know the love of our Heavenly Father. And they're going to get to know that love and experience that love through us, as well as their own relationship. But first, it comes through us. That's why it's so important. We start the process. If we can impart that love, if we can display that love, if we can show them the love of God, when they begin to understand the reality of God in heaven, they say, oh yeah, it's like my dad. I understand that. That's why we need to be that kind of father. Men, all men, need to be imitators of our Heavenly Father. We need to let those fatherly qualities shine through us in every relationship we have. We're not just fathers to our children. We can be a father, have that fatherly kind of attitude to everyone. To everyone. Even other men that are fathers. A father, what the father do? The father loves. A father shares. A father gives. A father cares about it. A father trains. A father does all these different things. And most of those different things, we can share those with all people. We're sharing the characteristics of our Heavenly Father. We're being His ambassador, a Father ambassador. We're showing His light, we're showing His love, showing His mercy, showing His grace, revealing the Heavenly Father through us. So every one of us men, we need to take being a father seriously. And when we do that, that's when fatherhood will truly be worthy of the honor that we receive on this day. Happy Father's Day. If I could have the prayer team come forward. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, I really believe that God is blessed by the men in here who are trying to serve Him, even in all our imperfections. We try to serve Him and be that kind of father that God wants us to be. Please don't take this as in a negative way. This was meant to be very positive. This was meant to show us how to take the next step, how to go further, how to help others understand, how to understand more ourselves, how to get closer to God, how to see Him as our Father. That's the goal of this message. I want to inspire you to be the best father, the greatest father that you could ever be. Because I know I'm not there. You know, I try to be a good dad. But I know that I'm far from a perfect father. There's only one, Him. And He tells us, be perfect as He's perfect. So that's our goal. So we all got room to grow. Maybe something I said today touched you and hopefully inspired you to take a deeper step. Maybe you want to come up and get prayer. Ask for God's anointing on you to be the kind of father that you really feel that God wants you to be. So let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord. We thank You so much. I thank You, Lord, for every man here, every father here. Lord, I pray that we would truly take on those fatherly characteristics that You have shown us, God. The ones that You reveal to us in Your Word. Lord, I pray that we would take those characteristics, that we would plant them within us, that those seeds would just blossom, that they would grow in us, and that we would grow and develop as fathers all throughout our life until the day we die. That we would never stop, never stop trying to be a better father, trying to spread the love of our Father, our Heavenly Father, onto this earth. Trying to pass that love, the love of God, onto the next generation. Lord, help us to be those kind of fathers. And I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen.
He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us. Oh,